Welcome back, everyone. Hopefully you're feeling a little bit better today, as we all had to wake up early for the race yesterday, which was Sunday. Today is Wednesday, but today for us is Monday. So hopefully that makes sense. We're going to crack on talking about the race because there's a lot of talking points. Whether it was good or not, that's open to interpretation. But we also have the cost cap scandal. Everything is coming out right now live as we're speaking. So yeah, we're going to bring you all of that, all of our thoughts. If you are watching us on YouTube, like, comment, subscribe, the usual stuff. If you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, give us 5 stars. It really does help us out more than you could imagine. And yeah, give us a follow on social media. Just search Racecast in TikTok, Instagram, Twitter. We'll be there. We actually did quite a few Instagram lives this weekend. We did a live stream through qualifying, which was really good. We had people getting involved and we were just having discussion throughout it all, basically. So yeah, we're going to do more of that in the future. So follow us to get involved. I'm not going to bore you anymore. Let's carry on.
All right, guys, welcome along to a brand new episode. Hope you guys are good. Before we get into talking about F1, Luke, you've painted 1/3 of the wall.
DIY skills. Not too bad.
Why only 1/3? So if you're watching on YouTube, you will see it painted, you know.
So basically, if you are a regular YouTube viewer, you'll know that the sign, which in real life, we can vouch, looks really cool.
It's sick.
On camera, against that white wall, looks fucking dreadful.
It's really washed out.
No idea. Yeah, like, I'm pretty sure, like, there might be something we can do on the camera to actually fix that. But I thought the easiest way was just to paint the wall black. The wall behind the cameras, I've like done a feature wall, which is like this cannonball grey colour. So I thought I didn't want the room too dark with both these walls. So I thought, what can I do to make it more interesting? I thought, keep behind us white. Looks nice, aesthetically pleasing on for the cameras. And then that looks really cool to make the sign pop.
Well done. It looks good.
Yeah.
Comment down below, what do you think of Luke's artwork skill.
I wouldn't call it artwork. I'm not going to be hanging that in the Louvre.
Right, guys, I hope you're good. There's a lot to talk about, and actually this might be one of our most exciting episodes to date, because there is things which are still going on whilst we're recording. So what we're talking about now, stay tuned to the end, because we may have updates all throughout this podcast, which is really exciting.
Yeah, even though I guess if you are listening, it's Wednesday.
You already know. However, but from a podcast point of view.
Yeah, you want to hear our opinions. We, you know, and we want to hear yours. So if we say something, obviously it is Monday, so it might have changed, but our opinion would still stand. So get involved, because I'm sure you have opinions. Comment down below. Call us idiots, dickheads, whatever. So long as you're getting involved, we appreciate it.
Before we get into talking about the Japanese Grand Prix, let's touch on the cost cap. So currently 30 minutes ago, as of. So we know that teams that are in compliance are Mercedes, Ferrari, McLaren, Alpine, AlphaTauri, Alfa Romeo, Williams and Haas. Teams in a procedural breach is Aston Martin.
Which my understanding is, for those of you that don't know, I kind of don't know, but my understanding is that a procedural breach is you basically filled the paperwork out wrong.
Yes.
So like there's, you know, they couldn't compute what you were putting down on paper, and it, basically what you had done wasn't correct.
Correct, yeah.
But that doesn't mean they necessarily overspent.
No.
That's my understanding between the...
However, the teams in procedural and minor overspend breach is Red Bull. So what does this mean? What, you know, currently we're waiting for the outcome of this, and we'll get this on the podcast. You're still here out 48 hours later. Anyway, procedural breach can result in financial penalties and or minor sporting penalties in case of aggravating factors as detailed in the financial regulation.
Have you actually seen the actual penalties from the regulations? Because I can give them to you.
Oh, go on then.
Okay, so this is for teams that are found in a minor breach. So these are the potential penalties.
So this is Red Bull, basically.
This is what Red Bull might find themselves on the other end of. So this one's just a public reprimand, essentially a telling off.
Slap on the wrist.
Yeah, I mean, have they not already had a public reprimand? Everyone knows they've breached the cost cap.
Well, yeah.
Like, what? The FIA going, that was bad. That's not going to cut it. And I think, you know, even if you are a fan of Red Bull here, right, you have to take the glasses off and look at the integrity of the sport from, like, a holistic perspective.
Christian Horner must be thinking, I look like a right dick here, because he was basically that in Singapore. No, we've done nothing wrong. We're all good. We've made no... Well, actually, you have.
That's one of my favourite parts of it.
Quickly, before you talk about that, let's just say it's less than 5%, okay,
they've yes.
gone over. But you worked out earlier, that's the equivalent almost what?
It's like, well, so we don't know, and I will finish the penalties. Just
sorry.
But yeah, it's less than 5% could be anywhere up to like 7.2 million.
It's not much, really.
That is a... huge amount. It hasn't been confirmed yet. There are rumors floating around that it's 1 to 2 million, which in my opinion is still a fair amount of money.
Still a good amount, yeah.
But yeah, so a public reprimand. Deduction of Constructors' Championships points awarded for the championship that took place within the reporting period of the breach. That would be 2021. Deduction of Drivers' Championship points awarded for the championship that took place during 2021. Could put Max's title at risk. He is only 8 points ahead of Lewis, whether they'll go down that route or not. Suspension from one or more stages of competition, excluding the avoidance of doubt, the race itself. Fuck knows what that means. Limitations on...
If you want Luke to come around and teach your kids how to speak, then...
I mean, that doesn't make sense. I'm sorry. Suspension from one or more stages of a competition. There's only one stage in Formula One. Excluding for the avoidance of doubt the race itself. That's what it actually says.
So realistically, it's either going to be financial penalties or you're going to get points deducted.
No. Limitations on ability to conduct aerodynamic or other testing. So, you know, that could... basically, they might have very little wind tunnel time. I mean, they're going to win the Constructors' Championship. They're already going to have very little
I mean,
win.
They look like they're really struggling in that area.
So both these could happen. So you could have, like, limitations on the aerodynamic test abilities and a reduction of the cost cap and or.
Okay.
So, look, there's a few routes they can go down here. A reprimand is not going to cut it.
No.
In my opinion. I mean, there's that clip that you were just watching before we started the podcast of Ross Brawn saying basically anyone that breaches it will get disqualified, essentially. Was that not what he was saying?
But and this is, you know, Ross Brawn is like, basically. He did an interview however many months ago about this, and he said anyone who is found to be over the cost cap will be either points deduction or disqualified. So if this comes out, actually, we know now that Red Bull have broken the rules. They have overspent. That's now come out. That's clear.
Yeah, that is fact. It is no longer speculation.
No. Christian Horner is literally doing that Homer Simpson thing when he's going back into the bushes after what.
Yeah.
Surely they have to take drastic action here. Well, not drastic action, but they have to put their foot down here and show that they're taking this seriously.
Yeah, and I think that's the important part, right? You have, this is their time to set a precedent, right? So now we're all going to learn, however the FIA react to this, we're all going to learn how serious the cost cap actually is. A public reprimand makes it a laughing joke. A laughing joke? A laughing stock is what I meant to say. It's either a joke or a laughing stock. Not a laughing joke.
Jokes could be funny, so you would laugh at a joke.
Well, they should be funny, not they could be.
Yeah, you never know.
In your case. I think, look, there's a lot of contentious points around the deduction of points. Okay, a constructor's, because it has to be for last season, right? They can't deduct this season's points as far as those rules sort of allude to. if you deduct last season's constructors points, that doesn't, it doesn't change anything. They didn't win it. They didn't, so it doesn't take away a championship. It's a, they've already benefited from finishing second in terms of prize money for this year.
Can I touch on something here?
Yeah.
And this is what is really baffling me when people say this to me, okay? And I'm going to say this. Yes, okay, we're Mercedes fans, but actually I would say this even if this was Mercedes, and I genuinely mean this, because when this budget cap came out last year, you and I had a conversation about this, that we just want them to take it seriously.
Yeah, like if you're going to have a rule.
Implement it.
Yeah, you know, have a rule. And that goes for every rule within the sport.
So I've seen a lot of people go, oh, you can't punish Max because he didn't know. Is Max Verstappen and Sergio Perez not part of the team?
That's the thing. You can't pick and choose when it's a team sport.
So if you're going to take constructors' points away, surely the drivers are the ones who got them the points in the constructors. So it's a team. So if you're going to take constructors, you take drivers away. And it's a whole thing, isn't it?
And, you know, the point is fair. Max and Perez haven't done anything. And yeah, it's if they do get a points deduction, and I really don't think they're going to, just I want to make that clear. Yeah. But let's say, for example's sake, there is a points deduction. Max loses his championship. I think karma, firstly. But secondly, I think that's so unfair. You know, we're deciding a championship a year later.
But I guarantee you...
And, you know, Max had no involvement in this overspending.
I guarantee you, though, if Max Verstappen loses his title, there'll be uproar. No team will ever do this again. Do you know what I mean? Red Bull won't go...
And this is the thing. This is where they have to come in strong. No matter how that is. I don't think a points deduction is the only strong way they can come in. They can heavily affect Red Bull's future few seasons by punishing them for doing this. But then I don't think that's necessarily fair on Red Bull moving forward, because it's only in theory the one championship which is void.
I just think if you're going to punish them in the season which these things happened.
It does make the most sense.
Yeah, there's no point going forwards and going, oh, we're going to punish you now. No, if you're going to start fresh, deal with the ones... This happened within that season. Take the points away, give them whatever you want to do from the 2021 season. That's how it should be. Not, you know, oh, we're going to punish you for 2023 season. Well, no, that doesn't mean anything. Do you know what I mean? Like, Red Bull have already done a massive amount of work this year on their car for next year. You know, they're in a good position going into 2023.
Their car is already... Yeah. Unbelievable.
So I don't see how that works.
What I'd quite like to know, right, is, and this is purely speculation, obviously individuals, Matteo Bonotto being one of them, has also have been speculating that they've overspent this year.
Yeah.
So let's say they commit a minor spend last year, right? And then they commit a minor spend this year. Again, I want to reiterate, this is purely speculation. But let's say they get a fine for last year. I'm not even... Is a public reprimand, would that constitute a fine or something? Let's say they have some form of financial penalty. And then there's a minor breach this year. So now that's the precedent for a minor breach.
Yeah.
So what? Do they then just get another financial penalty next year?
There would be no... You're not going to take it seriously, are you?
No, and that's the thing. So if they get a... Okay, so we know that teams now, if it is just a financial penalty, can spend up to roughly 7 million and just have to pay for it. Well, perfect. Ferrari will be all over that. Mercedes will be all over that. Red Bull will think, well, we'll just continue over-investing. Other teams would do it as well. They're not the only three teams with money.
No. Interestingly, though, the other team to have a procedural breach was Williams earlier this year. And the team entered into an accepted breach agreement with the FIA for being late with its submission in March. They end up paying £25,000. Or dollars.
25 grand.
I have a feeling, this is just going to be swept under the rug. I just have this gut feeling that actually this is Red Bull going to walk away from this very, very happy in the sense of, okay, fine, we'll take that.
And also, if any of you are familiar with accountants, they will obviously do everything in their power to make this look like some sort of breach which hasn't benefited them in any way, shape, or form. But the procedural breach is, okay, they should be fined. 25,000 doesn't sound anywhere near enough if we are going to take all of this cost cap malarkey seriously. You know, everything involved. Procedural breach, okay, it's a breach in one way or another. That should not constitute like points deductions or serious penalties. But a 25,000 breach, that's probably what their like staff meal costs after a race day.
Yeah.
So,
well, from what I'm reading, it's reported that Red Bull's breach was only 1 to 2 million due to costs such as catering and which was due to illness. I mean,
well, there you go. I told you they'd make it seem like it was.
It's just, do you know? Should we move on? We'll come back to this later on because I think we could have a full podcast just on this alone. And
I do want to know your thoughts as well, listening. I mean, you can DM us on Instagram or tweet us or comment down below if you're on YouTube. But how important do you think the FIA's response actually is? You know, do you think, okay, it's only 1 to 2 mil. They should just, you know, they should just not let it go, but they shouldn't have a serious punishment. Or do you think they need to come down hard and be like, right, you know, this is unacceptable and we can't allow teams to think that they can get away with this, be it like here's the complicated thing, right? Because what if they were just £1 over? That's a minor breach.
Oh, I mean, £1, it's like if you're over, you're over.
It has to be a sum of money that gives them some sort of material advantage.
Yeah, I mean, £1's not going to do that. I think anything from like half a million to a million is something which you're looking at and going, okay, that can give you an advantage.
Yeah.
I just think, you know, I know people here are going to be thinking, oh, they're just Mercedes fans. They want Lewis to win his 8th title, blah. You know, that's not the case.
And I actually think that would be one of the worst ways for him to win his 8th title. That is, you know, he lost it in the worst way and that would be winning it in the worst way.
No,
so that is not the case. And if Lewis wasn't in the title battle last year and Charles Leclerc won it, I would honestly still feel the same.
Yeah.
But it's cheating. There are rules in place.
It's the fact that, you know, there's no transparency, is there, from teams. You look at Horner. In Singapore, he was so adamant nothing was wrong. Interestingly, though, there must be something going on because Toto Wolff and Bonotto were not in Japan this weekend.
That is true. They were.
So,
and Zak Brown wasn't either. Yeah. Although there was rumours that he was at another race for McLaren.
Oh, was he? Yeah. Forget F1, I'm not like... But
yeah, pretty much.
I feel like there's something here. And if the FIA then come out and go, okay, we're just going to let them go, I don't think Ferrari and Mercedes are going to let them go, get away with some sort of financial breach or whatever. Fine.
No, and I'm not being funny. Every team has got to be thinking, that's not acceptable.
No.
There can't be, besides AlphaTauri. Like, oh, we actually support this. But...
I think it's very good for them, yeah.
But
they will learn. They will learn.
Yeah.
They will learn from it.
Just forgive them. Forgive and forget. But I think every team is really going to be probably not too pleased.
No.
You know, we can look at... I was reading up about different cuts that teams had to make. You know, like Mercedes had to sack people. Yeah. People had to lose their job simply for teams to comply. Or simply for them to be able to comply with the cost cap. Now, when you look at it from that perspective, you think that one team is now saying, oh, we can just get away with a breach. And the others are having to make these horrible decisions of like ending people's careers with them just so they can work within the rules. And like, I think it's immoral to just go and break the rules like that.
No, I agree. Red Bull have just announced, they've released a statement. We note the findings by the FIA of minor overspend breaches of the financial regulations with surprise and disappointment. Yeah, okay. Our 2021
submission... The only people they should be disappointed in is themselves.
Yeah. Our 2021 submission was below the cost cap limit, so we need to carefully review the FIA's findings as our belief remains what the relevant costs are under the 2021 cost cap amount. We will respectively follow while we consider all the options available to us. I mean, interesting.
I wish this had come out on the Wednesday, because think of the interviews that we would have got on Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
Yeah, but this is why I don't think they did it.
No, they absolutely postponed it for the sole purpose to let us focus on the race and let everyone focus, which I kind of understand.
Yeah.
But from an entertainment perspective, it would have been amazing.
So we'll come back to this. Shall we talk about the Japanese Grand Prix?
Yeah.
I think, because obviously we could just go on for this for hours. The Japanese Grand Prix, I was pretty happy with it in the end. Well, I thought it was quite good, apart from obviously the hour and a half race on delay on Sunday. Let's start off with practice. I feel like I'm literally, my head is killing. For any of you who don't know, I've currently got a headache, so I feel like I can't even speak properly right now. And it's probably showing or hearing.
It's hearing.
Practice. It was a rain practice.
I didn't watch, I mean...
Who was up
for any of you, if you're listening in, like, I mean, probably the States and the UK, no one surely woke up for FP1 and FP3.
No.
I didn't. I obviously saw, yeah, you know, FP1 was a very wet one, yeah. Wasn't it? Alonso, P1.
Yeah. I mean, the Alpines have looked good all weekend, but... Let's go on to qualifying, because practice, as you say, it was wet. It was really hard to determine what was going to happen. You saw a lot of cars go off, Ferraris go off.
It was a strange one, because you had, yeah, obviously really wet FP1, kind of wet FP2. The Mercedes looked unbelievable.
Yeah.
They were like 8 tenths quicker.
Which no one was expecting at all.
But what I was expecting was for them to not be as quick in qualifying. So they never failed to amaze me. FP3, bit of a strange one again. And then, yeah, we come to quali, and I thought quali was quite, I thought it was one of those intense ones where you didn't really know how the grid was going to set up, because there were some people on the cusp. You know, George almost went out in Q2.
Two, yeah. Well, we did, as we said earlier, we did a live Instagram live, and I thoroughly enjoyed it. Where do we spoke to people in Liechtenstein,
Argentina,
Bedford, Orlando, someone's bed. Like, you know, it was great. So we'll definitely do more of that. But qualifying was interesting. So Latifi went out in 20th. Stroll, K-Mag, Gasly and Albon were the top five.
Was
Albon?
I mean, yeah, Latifi, I mean, he had the 5-place grid penalty anyway.
But it moved him from 20th to 20th.
Yeah, well, technically 25th. He started from 25th and still got points.
We don't talk about that.
That man. Oh, we will get on to that. Yeah, the Williams didn't look too clever around that track in quali. Stroll.
He didn't have a great... He went out at P19.
Yeah, nightmare.
Yeah. When you're looking in Q2, you know, Danny Ric went out, Bottas, Tsunoda, Zhou and Schumacher... Obviously, the AlphaTauris had real issues with their front brakes.
Both those guys were very unhappy.
Yeah. Into Q3, Seb. Do you know what? It's the most wholesome content I think I've seen in ages. Seb on his final Q3 lap.
He's having
so much fun. I loved it. I love that man. I think I'm really going to miss him next year.
I mean, I was also looking at a stat. He's had such a large... amount of points for Aston Martin this season, like comparatively to Stroll.
Yeah.
So is it too premature for him? I don't know.
I think he could still do a good job.
I think he could if he was given a good car.
Yeah. I think if he was somewhere in someone like, he could go to the Alpine.
Yeah.
But no, I'm going to miss Seb. I think he's brilliant.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, that Alpine seat is still free, isn't it? No, it's not.
You have a laugh. Gasly.
Gasly. I was thinking, like...
Who went to AlphaTauri, by the way?
That was a bad one. So, obviously, if you don't know, Nick De Vries is now at AlphaTauri. Gasly is at that other team.
That was so good. Do they not know?
Yeah, so on the live, we were talking about, like, Nick De Vries, and I was basically saying there's no way he'd ever go to AlphaTauri because that's, like, betrayal. And then the news had come out at, like, 1 a.m. or something. So, like, I just rolled out of bed, opened the door, let Matt in, and then started watching quali. So I hadn't looked at my phone properly. And turns out he had been announced at AlphaTauri, and I know nothing.
And Luke was so adamant. He was like, no, see, I don't think he would, be, you know, like, jeopardize that with Mercedes.
Put your house on it. Put your house on it. And you can thank me later.
Let's just finish on Q3. So Norris P10, Seb P9, George Russell was in 8th. Both Alpine split the Mercedes this weekend. Ocon in 5th, Hamilton 6th, and Alonso in 7th.
Or did the Mercedes split the Alpine?
Or you could say that as well. And then the top 4 combined of Red Bull and Ferrari. Max Verstappen getting pole. Charles Leclerc 2nd, Sainz 3rd.
He got pole by 1/100th of a second, though.
It's a good lap, though.
Yeah, but Charles messed up his final sector.
Yeah.
Charles was on a fly-in lap, and then he messed up the last sector. I say messed up, he still qualified 1/100th off.
Qualifying's definitely been closer the last couple of races.
I still stand by that Singapore qualifying, that was something else.
Yeah, decent one.
But I did think this one was good. It was interesting because it was unpredictable.
Yeah. Let's talk about the race, shall we?
I'm not going to lie, right? So I went out on Saturday night, got in at 3:30, ate my McDonald's, probably went to sleep at about 4, woke up at 5 to 6 on my sofa.
Did you?
Covered in McDonald's. Switched the race on, and I was like, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And then it got red flagged, first lap.
Yep.
Delighted, shut my eyes, went to sleep, woke up. Just by chance, 15 minutes before they're about to restart the race at 8 o'clock.
Did you?
Yeah. It worked out perfect. I still felt like shit, but but it was a lot better than being up from 6 a.m.
Well, I got up at 10 to 6. Who's the mug? Me. It was pouring down. They all started on inters. They got away. Good starts
Did
from...
Did they start on inters?
Yeah. Started on inters.
It was really, really,
really wet. Yeah,
but were they expect? But it was actually raining as well.
Yeah, it was. I don't know why they went on to inters. It looked like a full wets. Personally, I don't quite know why they just didn't delay the start and go on to full wets and then start the race. But anyway, they went. They started on inters. Lap one, great. Leclerc got a fantastic start into turn one. Max managed to go on the outside. That guy in the wet is ridiculous, by the way. I know I've said this before, Max. Yeah, he's absolutely outrageous.
It's because he's just fearless.
Yeah,
he has so much belief.
He's ridiculous
in his car.
And then what happened on lap one is it was interesting. Sainz crashed. He aquaplaned, went off, crashed. Albon also went out on lap one. He had a retirement engine problem, I believe.
Did you see how close Lewis was to hitting Sainz?
Yeah, it's mad, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And if you've watched the footage from the car, Lewis's car, Sainz just, you can't see anything. And then next split second, he's just there.
Yeah.
And that was incredibly close.
I want to discuss, obviously, lap one. Once Sainz crashed, they brought out a safety car and then they realized, actually, no, we need to just red flag it. There was an incident in lap one, which Pierre Gasly basically decided to get a new front wing and get a advertisement board on it.
I didn't actually see how that happened. I remember seeing him driving around thinking, what the fuck?
New aerodynamics. It's really good. Anyway, he came into pit for a new front wing. Safety car was out. All the cars basically came up behind the safety car.
He hadn't caught up yet, had he?
No, he hadn't caught up. So he was the only one who hadn't caught up. The tractor was on the track, picking up the Carlos Sainz car. Cars were going past under the safety car. So at low speeds, this was at double yellow flags.
Which low speeds, I think, is a I don't think it's a term that can be used, even when you're under the safety car. That safety car is like pushing. I know it will be going a bit slow when it's wet, but that's because obviously there's more risk when it's wet. Cars can just, they can just go in the wet. I think even under a safety car, getting that tractor out, or whatever the fucking piece of machinery was like outrageous.
Well, Pierre Gasly obviously was driving a bit fast, catching up with a safety car. Obviously, went past the incident, and he, all of a sudden you hear him just going, "What the hell is a track? Why is a tractor on the track?" You know, could have killed. He was livid. They then red flagged it. The interesting thing is with this is it took ages for it to be announced on Sky. Sky just basically didn't talk about it for a good 40 minutes. This was obviously going round on all social medias. We posted it on Racecast on our Instagram and Twitter.
I was asleep at this
time. Luke was asleep. The interesting thing about this is, I've discussed this before in previous podcasts, if you listened to this before, is I don't think a tractor should be on the track when cars are there. Full stop. I'm at the feeling that actually you can't. Granted, you can't red flag everything, but if a tractor has to go onto the track, you know, you shouldn't have cars going round. I know they keep touching on obviously Monza. The tractor was on, but it was a nice sunny day. And actually, what really found it weird was people like Johnny Herbert, Paul Di Resta, were kind of like saying, oh, Pierre Gasly is going too fast. You know, it's a 50-50 blame. It's not a 50-50 blame.
They are two completely separate incidents.
Yes. Granted, Gasly was driving fast. He takes accountability for that. The issue is that tractor, right, already the visibility is crap. The driver's visibility is rubbish. You're putting a tractor on with two small little red lights where you can't even see properly.
The biggest thing is, right, Pierre Gasly speeding under red flag conditions or whatever, double yellows, that is bad. But, you know, if he does make a mistake and for whatever reason ends up going off, he's going to hit one of the walls that have been designed to absorb these crashes in the best possible way. I know they're not comfortable. If it goes into this tractor, that is just, it's not the same.
No.
You know, fair enough he was speeding, but there shouldn't be a tractor on track while there's a car doing any sort of speed.
I just, you know, did you see any of the Sky commentary, Sky Sports commentary?
No, not until I went back up at 8.
It was...
I have seen people complaining about it on... Other than Jenson Button, people seem to be praising Button, saying he was the only person with some sense, but apparently... They were all shocking.
I was very complimentary of Jenson Button this weekend. I like Jenson Button on the commentary. I think he's brilliant. He brings a whole different dimension to the sport, and I think he's brilliant. But listening to...
Because he's one of few drivers that they get on that actually has credibility in the sport.
You know, he's a world champion.
You know, I'm not going to list the drivers that don't, but I'm sure you can use your imagination, but... You can hear the difference in analysis when they're speaking to someone like Jenson Button, Nico Rosberg. Do you know what I mean? And, you know, Martin Brundle, but he's got a lot more experience in that role as a pundit, more so than he does as a driver now.
I you know, they were basically saying, well, the FIA came out and said they were going to investigate the fact that Gasly was, you know, speeding. Well, you're missing the point here. 14 years ago, was it? How many years ago was it? 2014, sorry.
Eight years ago.
Jules Bianchi lost his life because he hit a tractor, which was on the grid, in the same conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, what have we learnt here? Where are we?
I can tell you what we've learned. That the FIA remain useless. You know, and you can, I mean, this has been going on a while, but I suppose the pinnacle of it was Abu Dhabi last year. Everyone solely blamed Michael Massey, but which is, you know, fair, but getting rid of your race director isn't going to change how an organization is operating. You know, that it runs deeper than just that, and they've clearly not learned from any of the errors that they've been making.
You're not only putting the driver at risk, you've got marshals out on that track as well.
Have you seen the video? It's the clip from Science's car. So obviously he's not in it. And it's like being craned up.
It's
or
one
whatever.
Guy, isn't it?
Yeah. And he's like out on track, and then all of a sudden he must notice the car coming. And he sort of shits himself, like pulls the car back. It could have been him. Like, you know, Pierre Gasly is probably not going to be physically injured by that. This guy's going to get sliced in too. They clearly love to just not accept when things are wrong.
Yeah, I think, you know, you got...
Or when they've been in the wrong. They were so quick, and I've read all the stuff about the Sky pundits being so quick just to blame Gasly as well. Just, like, completely missing the point.
Yeah. And you know, they're basically saying, oh, it's okay. As far as I'm concerned, okay, if it's clear skies, if it's sunny, all of this stuff, okay, but... Oh, it's like okay-ish. Yeah, okay-ish.
At the same time, you know, it's got to be circumstantial. I think you definitely can't bring any sort of machinery out until everyone has caught up with the safety car.
Yeah.
Right. And then if the conditions are perfect, I think then you can look at it with a bit of reason and be like, okay, it might not make sense to red flag this. The safety car knows where the incident is.
Yeah.
We're going to go past there a bit slower. Everyone else knows. And I think that is fairly reasonable.
Yeah.
If the drivers, on the other hand, are not comfortable with this, well, then the FIA have to listen and be like, you know, if the drivers don't want to be on track while there's any other sort of machinery out there, then they've got to listen to them.
No.
This is my point of view. But in those conditions, when you have a lot less control over the car, there's no way it can ever justified.
It's raining, okay? So already conditions, you know, if you're a normal driver, you're driving your 4KA around, okay? If it's raining, you're told to keep distance, you've got a more chance of, you know, skidding or not braking properly.
Aquaplaning.
You know, these cars are lightweight, okay? It was raining yesterday. The visibility was poor. You know, your risks double because of the you know, how it looks. Interestingly, though, I didn't realise that they tried to get the Japanese Grand Prix in April.
Yeah, because it's typhoon season in Japan. Yeah.
But they got told, no, it has to be this time. You know, okay, it would have been much better in April when it's nice and sunny. But anyway, I don't know about you guys. Let us know what your thoughts are. I just think it's very blindsided by the FIA. It's very like, do they actually care about the drivers?
Have they even commented on it yet, by the way? Other than the fact saying they're going to review it.
Yeah. We're not learning from these things. We're not learning from them. That's a scary thing.
And you know, this is, although I'd say this is one of the biggest issues they have, they have so many issues.
There's so many issues. As far as I'm concerned, this is a massive issue. And, you know,
you have a chance to rectify it. Punish Red Bull.
But, you know, we did lose Jules, and that was, you know, such an unfortunate thing for, and a lot of these drivers, you can see with their tweets and the way they talk, that still hurts them. That still worries them. That still really frustrates them.
Because I think also at the same time, they're probably thinking like, why does no one care about us?
Yeah.
You know, I say it on here quite a lot. They go out there every week risking their lives. And now we know they assume that risk.
Yeah.
But what they also assume is that the FIA are going to do their very best to minimize that risk. And seeing stuff like this, where they fully witness someone die in exactly the same circumstances, and then they just allow it to happen again.
And it's weird, isn't it? Because when you look at like Monaco this year and Singapore, was it? No, sorry, it wasn't Singapore. Where did they stop delay?
Singapore was
it
delayed.
It was Singapore, wasn't it? Yeah, sorry. They delay that because of, you know, driver safety. Oh, it's not safe to drive. But they're happy to put the team, make the team start on inters when it's raining already and start the race. And then they're happy to put a tractor out while a driver still isn't behind the safety car. It just blows my mind.
It was only last week that they green flagged the race when a marshal was on track. So Someone needs to lose their job.
They've got a lot of issues. But let us know what your thoughts are on that. Obviously, the race did get started again.
I fucking hate this 3-hour rule. So we get 40 minutes of racing.
Yeah.
3 hours, I don't think it's long enough to allow weather to clear up and then allow the track to, you know, dry a little bit, then allow the safety car to go out there and then allow the cars to do a few laps. It's just, it's not long enough.
Yeah.
And the only people that get affected by this, by the way, are the fans. The drivers want to race. Everyone knows that. No driver is looking at his clock thinking, fucking hell, I wish it was dinner time. I just want to go home. They want to be out there and race.
Well, Otmar was like, let's just go. Let's just get going.
Yeah. It was another
so inconsistent,
shocker.
Isn't it? Once the race did get started, it was actually a very good race. It was actually quite enjoyable. Well, yep.
I thought it was
good.
I thought it was good. I thought it had a lot. And then, you know, I'm sure we'll get to it. But then you had like people changing tires with like 10 minutes to go. And you're thinking like, why have you done that? And then all of a sudden they're like 6-7 seconds a lap.
Alonso, great move.
Yeah.
But that's the issue. That's the interesting thing. Because they started off on wets, didn't they? Behind a safety car. Yes. It was a rolling start. But then literally after lap one, you had Vettel and Latifi come in for inters.
Well, because Seb... Was it the actual race Seb had a... Well, I don't think... I think he got tagged, didn't he?
But yeah, that was literally on lap one.
Yeah, so then he was starting from pretty much the very back, wasn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. Well, he was pretty much at the back. So it was a good move by them coming in. Lando came in on lap two, I believe. Well, lap
Yeah, so
two,
they
three,
came
four.
In early. Seb gained so many places.
Apparently it was 3 seconds a lap going from wets to inters. That's how much he gained.
But later on in the race, when the inters were getting worn, Alonso was, I think they said 6-7 seconds a lap quicker.
What, in the new inters?
Yeah, and he had about 5 laps on them, didn't he?
It's mad, isn't it?
He made up loads of places.
I thought the race was good. It was a good battle between Hamilton and Ocon. Ocon, fair play to you. There was outrageous driving. That Alpine straight line speed is ridiculous.
Yeah, but also the Mercedes is terrible, that straight line speed.
Yeah.
It was really quick through those corners. And
did you see the interview with Ocon after?
No.
He was like, he was literally like buzzing like a kid at Christmas. He was like, oh, it's so good.
That's what I said. I was watching the race with a mate and I was like, I bet Lewis had so much fun in that race. As frustrating as it would have been, both those drivers must have been like, this is mega. Like, we're getting to race each other for however many laps. And this is the new regulations allowing this to happen.
It was great racing. Great racing. And, you know, like you say, in the corners, Mercedes looked good. And then once it got straight line speed, you know, and Ocon was so nice about Hamilton. Like, he was like, you know, he drove like a professional as he is. Like, he kept, you know, we were both respectful.
That,
you spoke
they
to
both
Hamilton.
Kept, they both kept it really clean.
Yeah, you spoke to Hamilton. He was like, Ocon, amazing drive. But, you know, it was so nice to see that actually it was clean racing, but it kept you to the point where, like, what's going to happen here? Like, they were so
we didn't
close.
Have, like, Saudi Arabia, like, kamikaze driving.
Yeah, no, it was very good racing. And Ocon, I thought it was superb. Alpines looked good all weekend, to be fair. Ferrari, let's talk. I mean, there's not too much to talk about the tyre changes. Let's talk about the end, obviously.
Well, yeah, because there's not a lot to talk about Sainz, obviously.
Yeah, he went out. But Leclerc on the final corner of the last lap.
So explain it. For those that don't know, what happened?
So, coming into the final corner, Leclerc...
Perez had been putting a lot of pressure on him.
Leclerc went over the curb, basically went off the track.
Leclerc outbraked himself.
He did. And this was deemed that he gained a unfair advantage. My gut feeling is actually he was already ahead. And how much of an advantage can you gain? Because even when he came off... He had his back end went. Perez was literally right there. So
this is where we disagree.
Oh, do you think?
I think he was right to receive that penalty.
Do you?
So my interpretation of it was, well, Perez pushed him into a mistake by, you know, Perez is quicker than him.
Yeah.
Charles then braked too late into that last corner. Perez didn't. Perez took it all cleanly. He did it fine. He came round. Charles comes out in front of him and then obviously shuts the door on him, which I thought, well, that's not really fair because, you know, you've been forced into that mistake and Perez has done everything cleanly. Had you have taken that corner, I'm sure Perez would have taken it cleaner because the car was quicker. The tyres were holding up better on that Red Bull and he would have actually got you.
So you think he actually would have got...
I think Perez would have overtaken
him. No, I don't think so. I think if Leclerc took that line cleanly, he just had it around to the corner. He would have just got it to the finish line. I can't see how much of an advantage Leclerc got out of it.
But then he couldn't take the corner cleanly. He knew that Perez was coming.
Yeah.
And he tried to brake late to take more speed into the corner. And he ran off and then he shut the door on Perez, who I thought it was fair. The only thing I didn't like is that they were so quick. Why did we have to wait hours and hours for Perez's decision last week?
Yeah.
We have to wait so long
because
for some
decisions.
Because
the championship was decided.
And this one
funny,
was decided like that. And I'll tell you what, right? I want every decision to be decided that quickly. I'm not knocking how quick it was decided. I'm knocking the circumstances.
So, okay, that's interesting. Let us know what your thoughts. Did he deserve the penalty or was it harsh?
I have seen a lot of debates. Some people were like, this is well out of order.
Yeah.
As soon as the incident happened, I said, that's not fair.
No.
And believe me, I wanted Leclerc to finish in front of Perez. But at the end of the day, I just felt, nah, that's not on Perez. Deserves that place.
Max Verstappen won by about 20 odd seconds. It was
he holds the record for the biggest gap
over a win. Is it?
It was 26 seconds in Suzuka. So no one's ever won by that amount before.
It's phenomenal race by him. So let's talk about after the race, shall we? Because throughout this race, they were talking about half points, you're only going to get certain amounts of points, three quarters of points for this because you haven't completed this. So everyone was kind of like, okay, fine. You know, it's better than we had in Spa last year. You actually seen racing, so that's fine. After the race, you know, drivers were getting their interviews. Max said, you know, Johnny Herbert, I didn't mind Johnny Herbert, but until yesterday, I've lost all respect for that man.
Why?
What he was talking about Gasly and the whole tractor. He was like, he's got to slow down. It's like, no, you're completely missing what the actual issue is here.
I didn't hear that part. I was asleep.
He did his post-race interview with Verstappen. Verstappen went off. Perez came in. And then all of a sudden, Leclerc was going to come across. And he was like, Max, you're world champion. It's like,
yeah, he broke it. It was a very underwhelming.
Yeah.
He was like, oh, really? And then they still weren't sure if he was actually world champion. Max then gets to the cool down room and he's like, no, not world champion. And then someone comes in and is like, yeah, you're world champion. He's like, am I?
It's just really bizarre.
Because
I find it really sad because obviously everything that happened with Max and Lewis last year, Max fully earned and deserved his championship this year. I'm not saying he didn't last year, but what I'm saying is he's been mega this year. He's been phenomenal. To then not have the opportunity to cross that line and hear the crofty, famous lines of you're the world, Max Verstappen, champion 2022, whatever.
Do they normally do I guess it's because normally towards the end, but I always think of the fireworks going off, when they're crossing the line and stuff.
And I feel sad that Max didn't have that he could get his celebrations over the radio, that we're not going to hear that. Do you know, over the years, we've heard Lewis and we've heard Max last year and
Seb.
I find it sad that actually Max was deprived because of the FIA not making the rules clear enough.
Yeah.
That he's missed out on that.
And I still don't, I'm not even sure if anybody knows if they did even actually follow the rules.
Yeah. There's
there are so many conflicting stories. I have no idea, but look, at the end of the day,
he was going to win it.
Max was going to win it anyway. They could have given it to him 10 races ago.
Yeah, no, and he's a worthy champion. And he's been outstanding. He's gone to a whole new level this year, and I'm happy for him. I'm not a massive Max Verstappen fan, but I'm delighted, and I think he fully deserved it. So
at the end of the day, like, the best person deserves to win. Always.
You respect greatness.
Yeah, I do, and I think you can, you know, you can see Max absolutely has it.
Yeah, he's outstanding.
I had just seen a well funny tweet though.
Yeah,
because you know that the 1 to 2 million was allegedly for catering. Someone just tweeted saying Adrian Stewie.
I heard that somebody was making Max's birthday cake, and that's what it cost. But yeah, let us know what you thought on the race. I thought on a whole it was an all right race. Nicholas Latifi.
Oh, now this is the hot topic of the week. If you're a regular race car listener, viewer, whatever you want to call yourself, you'll know that earlier on this season,
he's actually wearing the same hoodie, funny enough.
Matt made me a bet that Nicholas Latifi would not get a single point this season. Now, the man, against all odds, started from P25, ended the race in P9 and bagged himself 75% of...
Well, he didn't. He got like 2 points.
He would have got... Oh, it was full points, wasn't it? So yeah, he got himself 2 whole points. He's also now not 22nd in the championship or whatever he was. He's now 20th, back where he belongs, in the big leagues. And Matt has to get a tattoo.
Can I say, though, I feel like this is... Look, I'll do it. It's fine. I feel it's a bit harsh because...
He's backtracking now.
No, I'm not backtracking.
No one forced you into that bet.
No. But we didn't have 100% of the race. And I guarantee you, if it was 100% full race, Latifi would not be finishing in 9th.
I low-key disagree.
No, come on. He started last on the grid.
He was pulling away from Lando. He pulled a gap to Lando.
No,
right. You boys and girls that are watching right now, vouch for me. He pulled a gap on Lando.
So if you think, okay, no, I'm talking about right from the beginning, lap one, there's no way he would have finished in the points this weekend.
Oh, so you want the race to just be how you want it to be?
No, well, yeah.
No, you don't want anything to happen.
Red Bull do it. Look, FIA do it. Why not MJ?
These things happen. This is how races go sometimes. And
I accept it. I've accepted it.
That's like saying Danny Rick's win in Monza doesn't count because Max and Lewis crashed into each other.
Yeah, but they had a full race.
So?
We only had like, what, 40 minutes of it.
Yeah, but it wasn't a Spa situation.
No.
We still got to the end of the allocated time, which is rubbish, increase it.
Okay.
And you got shafted.
I accept it.
Right, and you can talk about unfair. Where was it? It was Silverstone.
Yeah. Where he qualified in Q3.
Yeah, where... What did I bet you? So the bet was... Where was... He was running in like P8 at one point or something. Yeah. And you were like, I bet you Latifi will still finish last. And I said... If he finishes last, I will get a tattoo.
Yeah.
And there were some funny circumstances in that race.
There was, yeah. No, like, don't get me wrong. Like, it's fine. I accept it. I did, you know, I posted that story yesterday of like, you know, I've just spoken to the FIA. They've
told me there's a loophole. Did you get hate for that?
So many comments going, fraud. No. Like,
I quickly came on to squash that.
Yeah, thanks for that. What did you call me?
No, I just said that is a loophole that is allowed in the regulations, but only if you're a certified nonce.
Yeah.
So it's entirely up to you if you want to use it.
So, look, I did an Insta Live last night. I spoke to some very nice people. I'll get a tattoo. Obviously, you're paying because that was the agreement.
I'm just going to do it myself. I got a compass and some ink.
Or like blood. It's going to be like...
Just prick it in the skin. You know, like...
Oh, yeah, that doesn't sound like it's not sterile.
No, I'll use a lighter on it first.
Oh, good. Good.
And you're a nurse anyway, so if anything goes wrong.
Brilliant.
Plaster.
Septic. Lovely. Can't wait for that. I will get it. I will get it. And, you know, as I said, a bet's a bet. I now hate Latifi. but no, like, I'm low-key happy for him. I think the guy has taken a lot of stick this year. A lot of stick. And to actually, for him to get some points on the board... is really good for his self-confidence, because I mean, I'm not being funny. It was only in practice he decided to take his own route. You know, like, he was like, nah, I'll go up here.
Don't know what happened there. Yeah. Car's weird.
The car just turned me. It's like a Tesla.
The driver's weird.
Yeah. So I'm happy for him. And yeah, it's good. But comment down below.
He couldn't go out on his final season without getting any points.
Have you got some of the suggestions on... So I posted a tweet, what tattoo do I get? Oh my God, you guys commented a lot. And I think it's probably the most commented comments people have said.
Where did you post
it? It was on the story.
Give me 1 second, listeners and viewers.
One of the rules, by the way, is I'm not getting anything on my face, I'm not getting anything on my neck, and I'm not getting anything on my chest.
Why?
But people are like getting a giant cock over your chest. I'm not going to do that. Like, come on now.
Oh my God, there's actually a lot.
Yeah.
There's a lot of talks of getting some form of a Latifi tattoo.
Yeah.
Latifi in a heart. Just a little portrait of him just in a heart.
No.
You could have the one with Latifi and then it's got a shadow of a goat.
Yeah, could do that.
That would hurt quite a lot because they'd have to shade it.
Yeah. See, I like something like... Somebody said the Suzuka track.
Yeah, could.
I don't mind the outline. Then, do you remember Sacramento?
What you could do, right, is you could have the outline of the track, right, and then have Latifi P9.
No.
I think it has to honour Nicholas Latifi because he's the reason you got it. Latifi, then a number six. Oh, what about a number six in a maple leaf? That is quite cool.
Why don't I just get the Suzuka track and then a picture of a goat in the middle of it?
Just a little goat.
Goatifi, yeah.
But what I want the goat, I want to draw the goat and then they like, they stencil it on.
No chance. Absolutely no chance. Can I get it at the bottom of my foot?
What? On your foot?
Yeah.
Why do you want it on your foot?
Where else am I going to get it?
That's where girls get tattoos.
No, underneath the foot.
Sexist. Huh?
Underneath the foot.
Underneath? I think that would be unbelievably painful.
Yeah. But no one would see it then, would they?
No, but you want it to be visible.
Yeah, okay.
Have it on your have it like on your bicep, so every time you do that, like, it gets bigger.
Yeah. What about like here? It'd
probably shrink with you.
Dick.
Anyway, I don't know. We'll decide where it goes.
We will do this post season.
Yeah, because obviously when the season ends, we're gonna pause the podcast naturally because we can't
we'll do the odd special
episode. Yeah, maybe it'll be like one a month or something rather than...
I think we're going to get guests on. We'll do a couple with, you know, yeah, guests, which people have been asking for. But, we can post a video.
We'll continue posting on Instagram and stuff. Yeah. But yeah, I think it has got to be something Suzuka Latifi based, I think, because... someone said a Red Bull logo.
Yeah, no chance.
Why?
I'd rather amputate my leg.
That can be arranged. But yeah, we will think of something. But DM us on Instagram or comment down below. And because we will take your suggestion seriously because this is going to happen. And we haven't got an idea yet of what it's going to be. So
an outline of the track I would take.
So what he's not getting is an outline of the track.
No. It's also...
If you want the outline of the track, it's got to be on your forehead.
No.
Do you want a forehead tattoo?
No. Huh? We'll decide. Still no news. It's now 5:25, and we're still no news on...
I don't think we're going to hear about the punishment.
No, but there's still nothing coming out.
I mean, Red Bull said they're contesting it anyway, didn't they?
Yeah.
So I don't think there'll be any announcement of punishment until that's sort of all cleared up.
Do you want an interesting fact? Alfa Romeo points. They got 51 points in the first 9 races. The second 9, 1 point.
Oh, that is bad.
It's mad, isn't it?
See, but that goes to show you that teams are constantly developing.
Yeah.
And some teams get outdeveloped. You know, I still think the best example of this is Braun.
Oh, yeah.
In 2009, where... they come out of the block with these new regulations with the most ridiculous car. And the second half of the season, I think they were just like, you know, still one of the decent teams, but they weren't like anywhere near as dominant as what they were.
Yeah.
So this does happen, and this is, you know, you could say we've seen it with Ferrari. They've massively fallen off this season.
I just seen such a good tweet.
What is it?
Explaining to my bank it was just a procedural breach and a minor overspend every time I exceed my overdraft.
There's got to be something. But yeah, what did you think of Suzuka? Let us know. I thought it was decent. I just think it was too short.
Yeah.
Think it would have been nice to see everyone make some changes.
Yeah.
Like tyre changes.
No, I agree.
But again, I think that's an issue with this like 3-hour rule that they've got.
Yeah, it did get well dark though quickly. You either start earlier. I don't know.
Yeah, but they've got floodlights.
Yeah, I know.
Every track.
You need to get your new socks, mate. That is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I know. They're quite bad.
Should we do fan questions?
Yeah. Right. So every week on Instagram, prior to recording this podcast, we do a little post saying, get your fan questions in. And then we recite some of them on this podcast.
Oh, there's one in there, which is in the DMs, which is actually a really good question.
Okay. Shall I go on to the DMs?
Yeah.
Well, this one's actually really good. Because we'll do this one. Would today's race have carried on through the rain if no one crashed in the opening laps?
Do you know what? I would like to think so.
Yeah, I know.
I know there's a lot of rain within, you know, certain parts of the corners and that. But I would really hope that they actually just let them race. Obviously, I think the tyre choice was wrong from the beginning.
Yeah, and I think that could have made the race really interesting. You know, someone makes the call to hop onto those wets. Oh my god! And it can change the race.
Yeah.
When you decide to make the switch on tyres completely. So, but I'm not sure. I think they've been way too trigger happy with not allowing drivers to race in wet conditions. But then we haven't actually seen it when they were already out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Mad respect to the drivers because their visibility is just mental.
Where's this?
I got it here.
Okay.
So this is from Rutter, I believe. Sorry if I've said your name wrong. I have a question which will not fit into one sentence and would be great if you could touch up on this sometimes in the future. So with now 24 races.
I've just seen the DM and she says, absolutely love like the podcast, even though you never pronounce my name correctly.
Right, there we go.
So maybe try saying it in a different way. How did you say it this time?
I said Rutter.
I'd say Rutter.
Yeah, I said Rutter.
That would be my guess. So are we right?
Let us know. So now with 24 races and 6 sprints announced for 23, how do you think the calendar will look in 3 to 5 years? They go on to say, I get that we would love to have a race every weekend and with as much action as possible. But what toll that increased number of races will have on the drivers and the teams, having in mind that they'll be packing everything into 9 months, basically. Also, budget cap in mind with current travel and living costs, where teams are switching continents every second race and all that. Do you think increasing number of races has any other reason than pure cash? After all, famous words spoken by Sir Hamilton himself, cash is king. That's a good question. That is a very good question. What's your thoughts?
I think next season, they're pushing it. They're pushing them to their limit. We don't have to wait any longer than 2 weeks for a race next season, other than summer break, I think.
I mean, it's good for us.
Yeah, it is good for fans, but then does it actually, you know, have a knock-on effect on the sport as a whole, which these mechanics are going to be fatigued, demoralized. Yeah. They're not seeing their family, having to work all long hours, traveling around the world, jet lagged. You know, it could start impacting performance. And then you look at the implications that it does have on cost cap, teams having to spend more because there's more travel.
Yeah.
But then maybe there's less money to invest in development and, You know, it's stuff like that, which I think you only really start to think about properly when you're put in a situation like this. Because if I was just like down the pub speaking about it, I'd be like, I want to race every weekend. Mm. Naturally.
I think from a fan point of view, we would love a race every weekend or every other weekend.
But then from a realistic...
It's not realistic. And I think 24 is going to be really interesting to see next year how that goes. I think 24 has got to be your max. You can't have any more than that, because that, unless you're going to invest in more staff and increase the budget cap. So, you know, for example, pit crews, you're going to basically just have two lots.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, oh, you're working this week, yeah. You'll work that week.
Oh, can I go to Canada? No, you're
but then,
at Silverstone. Oh.
You know, then teams are having to spend so much more.
Yeah.
And then... Yeah, I just don't think that works. I think they've got to. I get it. They're looking at financials. Oh, we'll go here, there. We'll increase brand awareness. Get more people into Formula One. More sponsors. More money through ticket sales. But there comes, you know. But you see it in other sports. Football, for example, is. I mean, the schedule. Last year, I'm a Liverpool fan, so we got far into every competition. Got to every final possible.
Yeah.
The schedule was outrageous.
But I suppose you look at this Premier League season. You got the World Cup.
Yeah, like slap bang in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Because money.
Yeah.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason we're in Qatar. And, you know, I get it. I get the money thing. That's fine. There's huge costs in these sports as well. But... You have to sometimes put the money aside and look at what is right for everyone involved.
I'd agree with you. And I think in 3 to 5 years' time, I hope that they haven't added any more to this type of calendar. Because I think, like you say, it is relentless for the teams.
Yeah.
I think 24 races and you'll get a race every other week is, from a fan point of view, is good. It's brilliant. I'll take that. See, I don't like missing a race, but when you have a race every weekend or whatever, it kind of scuppers your plans a bit. Do you know what I mean? Like if you go away, you're like, oh, I'm going to miss a race or something.
And at the same time, sometimes it makes you more excited for the next race.
So yeah.
Oh man, I've got to wait an extra week. And then it's the excitement. It's oh, and then it comes around and you're like, we've been 2 weeks without racing. I'm so excited.
I think every week would be a bit like, okay. It's a lot.
Yeah, it's like, oh, do you want to go out this weekend? Can't watch in the race.
Yeah.
Oh, what about next weekend?
No. Nope.
Race. Weekend? No, race.
6 a.m. What? No, it's a good question. Let us know what your thoughts are. Would you like more races to the calendar, or do you think 24 is a cutoff, or do you think it's too much? I think 24 is just manageable. I think 20 to 22 is a good amount of races. So, yeah, it's going to be interesting.
Yeah, 20, anywhere from 20 to 24, you know. Yeah. I mean, considering we used to have like 17, 18.
Yeah.
I am enjoying more races, but let's not take the piss out of all the people involved in the sport. Now, before we wrap up, is there any update?
Mate, I'm really disappointed. I was actually really looking forward to actually giving some updates. It doesn't seem...
In Matt's mind, he's giving breaking news. Really, right now for you, it's Wednesday.
So you already know it.
You know everything that we're talking about.
There doesn't seem anything. There doesn't. I mean, apart from the Red Bull giving their announcement, I mean...
I think it's going to be a week or two until we hear.
But the breaking news is that... Has Crofty said anything? So the FIA have... obviously released a statement. Do you want me to read the statement just ended on it?
Can do.
It's stuff which we kind of already touched on.
But does it just say that they breached the cost cap?
Yeah. But it does actually say, so...
Anything about timings on a penalty?
No.
Nice.
It says, a procedural breaches can result in financial penalties. We've basically touched on this. If confirmed before the cost cap adjudication panel will result in a mandatory constructors championships points deduction and can result in additional financial penalties and or material sporting penalties.
So nothing about drivers deduction.
So Minor overspend, less than 5% cost cap, can result in financial penalties or minor sporting penalties. Only a material overspend. Only a material overspend breach of over 5%, if confirmed before the cost cap adjudication panel, will result in mandatory constructors' championship points.
I mean, that's not what the actual sporting regulations say, though. So, I feel like we're all going to be very disappointed in how they deal with this situation, and it's going to be largely unsurprising. And we're just going to continue with the same shit week in, week out.
And we're not going to learn anything, are we? I think they're just going to get away with it. I wouldn't be surprised if you just get a little financial penalty in it, but that'd be it. Which is disappointing, because I feel like this is FIA's perfect opportunity now to show we are not accepting this. Whether it's $1.5 million, $1 million, $2 million, we are not accepting this. And that goes across from all teams. But, you know, Red Bull seem to have just potentially got away with it again. So, well done.
Yeah, nice one, boys.
So, thank you very much for listening. There's been a lot we've discussed. Sorry we couldn't give you any more news than that. You already obviously know because it's Wednesday now. So, but let us know what your thoughts are on the budget cap. Let us know what your thoughts are on the Japanese Grand Prix. What do you think about the stewards, you know, and the FIA handling of the tractor being on track? Was Gasly in the wrong? Were the FIA in the wrong? Let us know what you think about Max Verstappen winning his championship the way he did. Do you think that was right or wrong? We'll be back next week for a brand new podcast. Hopefully we'll have some more information for you then. Luke, have a good week.
Yeah, you too.
And we shall see you next week for a brand new video. Bye-bye.